Good morning. It's a blessing to be here again, a privilege to be here again. The starting place of gospel truth, where you start in Christ, is not the ending place of gospel truth. The starting place, not the ending place. I mean by this that the grace of God, or by the grace of God, all believers are to be growing in their understanding of the gospel. Growing. You start at a certain place, but that's not where you end. It's not where you stay. You grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Learning more and more. Understanding more and more about God's glorious and great work of redemption. The challenge in the text this morning for us is simply, are you making that progress? Are you making progress in the gospel? Are you growing in your knowledge and understanding of God's redemptive work? Now, we read Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 11 through 14. Let me give you the context of these verses. The book of Hebrews is very different from most of the New Testament letters. The book of Hebrews reads like a sermon. If you've ever read the book of Hebrews, it doesn't start out Paul, an apostle, or Peter, an apostle. It starts out preaching. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He starts out proclaiming Christ. And the book of Hebrews reads like this sermon, and it's exhorting a particular group of people, a group of Jews who have professed Jesus Christ. They profess to be believers. They profess Christ as Lord and Savior. And they're being exhorted to stay faithful to Him. They're being exhorted to stay faithful to Him. And the text that we read this morning faces these professing believers with the necessity to grow spiritually. The sermon is now talking to these Jewish believers saying, you should be growing spiritually. You must make progress in the gospel, and you must not apostatize or fall away from it. These believers that are being addressed are apparently under pressure to return to Judaism, to go back to the law, to go back to Old Testament forms and ceremonies, all of those things which point to Christ, all of those things which point to Christ as the fulfillment, the completion, the substance of which those things are but shadows. And the book of Hebrews is full of strong warnings against this going back to the law, if you will, this apostasy, this stopping to trust Christ, stopping to acknowledge the cross, stopping to see the work of redemption fulfilled and completed in Christ, falling away from that and going back to something perfectly insufficient, completely insufficient. These warnings are designed to be means of grace that God uses to keep his children on track as they run the Christian race with endurance. There's much, 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 much more we could say about the warning passages in the scripture, and particularly the five major warning passages in the book of Hebrews, which we are not going to deal with, but we need to understand these warnings are what God uses to keep us persevering, enduring, running the race with patience. It is by grace alone we run the race. We endure to the end. And we understand God is faithful to finish what he begins. God is faithful. God brings it about. God will bring us to full redemption. But included in his gracious work are these exhortations to be faithful, including the exhortation in this text to make progress in the gospel and not to regress, not to go backwards. It would seem like even a casual reading of the New Testament, it certainly seems like there's progress in the gospel and there's regress in the gospel. There doesn't seem to be much neutrality. There's no like neutral gear. It's vitally important we have a growing, thriving, living, persistent faith. And the good news is, again, that God's grace is sufficient. He that begins this work will not cease to work until the race is finished. Nonetheless, our response to God's faithfulness is never seen in the New Testament to be passive. Gospel growth is called for. The starting place is not the ending place in terms of our understanding of the gospel, in terms of gospel truth. And that's not just a nice saying, but the text that we are going to deal with this morning calls for that truth. I want to call your attention to chapter 6 and verse number 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine or teachings of Christ. He's not saying let's move away from the cross. He's not saying let's leave the gospel, let's leave the cross and go on to other things. The elementary teachings of Christ are the foundation. Notice what they were for these early Jewish converts. Look at verse 1 and verse number 2. He says, not laying again. There's repentance from dead works. There's faith in God. Instructions about baptisms. The laying on of hands. The resurrection of the dead. Eternal judgment. Those are things that Jews coming from Judaism into Christ would need to know right from the beginning. In fact, all those things can be found in the early preaching of the church in the book of Acts. All of those fundamental, elementary things about Christ and the gospel. But notice chapter 6 and verse number 1 says, we leave and go on to maturity. There must be advancement beyond these elementary teachings. What is he talking about here? If you know the book of Hebrews, the context here, the going on to maturity is all about Christ's work of redemption. It's all gospel stuff in the book of Hebrews. It's all about the person and work of Christ. Let's go on from the basics to more about Jesus, to more about redemption, to more about the superiority of his person and the superiority of his work over anything else. By the way, in verse number 1, when it says, let us go on, that's the passive voice. The idea of that is, let us be carried on. We go on by God's grace. Notice verse 3 says, and God permitting, we will do so. In other words, that we're dependent on him. We do not ever, ever, ever think that we're some independent beings that are able to do this on our own. But let's be carried on by the work of God and grow and make progress, not regress, is the sentiment that's being expressed in this text, the exhortation. And what we want to do this morning is go back now from the exhortation in chapter 6 that says let's leave and go on to maturity, and go back to verses 11, 12, 13, and 14, and look at the lack of progress, the regression that's expressed in these verses, and see what's lacking here in these believers that are being addressed. What's wrong here? What's wrong with this picture that the writer has to say, you've got to leave these basic things and go on in your maturity in the understanding of the gospel of Christ? And it's an opportunity for us to look in our own hearts and think about our own spiritual progress or lack thereof. And there's three things that are lacking here in these believers that are being addressed. And the first one is a lack of gospel depth in verse number 11. A lack of gospel depth. Do you see the gospel as this rich treasure? The gospel is such a rich treasure, pointing to a God of great grace, mercy, love, glory. And these people have become sluggish. They're not making progress. Now, before we look at this point in verse 11, let me just give you some things about the gospel that are important to understand. First of all, God brings us into the faith with some basic understanding of the gospel. There's no such thing as I'm a believer, but I have no idea what the gospel is. The gospel is what's proclaimed in order, and the person embraces the gospel. That's how salvation comes about. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So we come in at the cross, believing that Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. We understand the cross isn't just a nice thing to help us along. It's not Jesus died because we're lonely, and he died because we need friends, and he died because we're going through some difficult time. He died for our sins. It's about sin and our great need to be redeemed from it and brought to God. And so we understand we're brought to the faith with some basic understanding of the gospel. And then secondly, we then begin a life, as it says in 2 Peter 3:18, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We begin a life of growing in full, complete dependence upon God, recognizing he's the source of our lives and our new lives. And he's the one who will bring about in his time our full redemption. It's God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so we've tasted this grace and we desire to know more. So we come in there and there's spiritual growth. And then the third element that's important for us to understand is that all of this good news of God's work is for his glory. It's so that he gets all the praise. He gets all the honor. Our boasting, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 31, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Our boasting is in him. Okay, so with those three things about the gospel, now let's look at what the problem is here, as the writer of Hebrews has been setting before these recipients of this letter some of the great truths about who Christ is and what his work was so that they can make progress in the gospel. When we come to verse number 11 of chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews has been discussing Christ's Melchizedekian priesthood. See verse number 10 of chapter 5? Being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then he gets to verse number 11 and he says, We've got more things to say about this. Much more to say. But there's a problem. There's a problem. Look what he has to say. It's hard to explain. Some of these things are hard to explain. Now, it's not they're hard to explain because they require people to have super high IQs. That's not what he's saying here. He's not saying these deeper things of the gospel, like the Melchizedekian priesthood and some of the other things he's going to talk about. He's not saying those things require people who are geniuses, basically, you know, cut above everyone else. That's not what he says is the problem. Do you see what he says is the problem? The ESV says it's you have become dull of hearing. I think the NIV says slow to learn. Since you have become dull of hearing, since you are slow to learn, sluggish to learn, lazy when it comes to making gospel progress. So the idea here is there's these great, deep, and important gospel truths for our soul to be brought along in the faith, nourished along in the faith, and they can be learned. But to learn them, there's got to be some desire to learn them and a willingness to put some effort into learning them. And now here's one of the most important things in the text that can be missed, because sometimes the English doesn't reflect the Greek as well as it should. In the NIV, I think it says, you are slow to learn. In the King James, it says, seeing ye are dull of hearing. In the ESV, it says, you have become. But here's the point. The point is, this is a perfect tense verb, and it's not the normal verb of being. It's the verb of becoming. And what it means is, you can't learn because you have become slow to learn, sluggish to hear. In other words, you weren't always like this. That's his point. It's not you came to Christ and you were in neutral and you were always sluggish. You became sluggish. You regressed instead of making progress. That's the point of the text. The implication here is they're to blame. It's not how hard it is or how difficult it is. You are making progress, but you become dull of hearing. You become slow to learn. Once you were making progress, and now you are regressing. This is what's happened. This is what's become. There's now a lack of gospel depth because for some reason, there's not the desire, there's not the effort being made. And I believe this passage reflects a similar problem in modern Christianity, in modern evangelical Christianity. You don't see in many circles a whole lot of gospel truth hungry believers. Many churches are gospel impoverished. Some churches are more likely to draw a crowd with some Christian recording artist, or if you look at some of the church growth, church marketing magazines and publications and ministries, you can hire a Christian comedian to come to the church on Sunday morning and draw a crowd. Recently, and many of you know that May 21st was supposed to be Judgment Day. A man by the name of Harold Camping figured that out and put a lot of time and effort and his followers into proclaiming that message. And of course, it didn't happen the way Harold Camping thought it would happen. But the real tragedy is not that Harold Camping was wrong about when Judgment Day was. The real tragedy in that is Harold Camping should be focused on the gospel. Not looking at the Bible as a code book to figure out dates. The Bible is a gospel story. Tells us about Christ and his glory and greatness in the redemption of sinners. But believers today, or professed believers today, don't seem to be hungry for gospel truth. Churches are more likely to draw a crowd with some psychology-driven teachings, or entertaining preaching, or with how to succeed in your life preaching. But the problem that's being rebuked in our text here is gospel death. Gospel death. The Bible is a story of God and his greatness and glory, and the highlight of it is he's so great, so loving, so merciful that he redeems fallen men, taking on the sins of the world upon himself, taking the wrath, the infinite wrath upon himself in the form of Jesus Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ. All this great truth about Christ, God's work, for God's glory, it needs to be known by believers and understood by believers. The scripture is not just an instruction manual. It's a redemptive book. It's God's story of redemption. We must not trivialize it. Oftentimes, if you go in a Christian books or so, you see like children, you know, things for children. You can buy Noah and his ark, and you can buy the animals, and you know, it's as if it was some delightful little children's story. Bring the animals on, we'll all have a good time on the ark. No, God is destroying the world because of wickedness. It's not fun and games. It's the wrath of God being seen for his glory. And it's his grace in sparing fallen sinners. And what we have in this text is a lack of gospel death. The strong theme throughout the New Testament is what we might call the more and more aspect of the Christian life. We're growing and we know more and more about God. And that causes us to want to know more and more about God. And I believe that in eternity will be a progression of knowing more about God and enjoying him more. The more and mores will continue eternally. And they're supposed to start now. Second thing there's a lack of here. A lack of influential development. The situation described in verse 11 leads to the consequences of verse number 12. Though by this time, verse number 12, you ought to be teachers. Enough time has elapsed that these folks being addressed should be having a gospel influence on other professing Christians. And over this time, instead of Christian development that would lead to gospel influence, there was sluggishness and immaturity. Have you been a Christian for a while? Your spiritual life should be moving forward, forward, and there should be some influence on other believers, some encouragement and positive effect on other believers. This is a serious business, for the text says we all have a responsibility for influencing others with our gospel progress. It's not simply witnessing to the lost. It certainly is witnessing to the lost, but it's a positive influence on our brothers and sisters in Christ in the context of a local assembly, a local body, influencing others in a gospel-centered way. Because look what he says in verse number 12. By this time, you ought to be teachers. The church, the local body, the local assembly should be full of teachers. Now, with that, let me add an important caution. It's not speaking of the gift of teaching. Everyone doesn't have the gift of teaching. There's a diversity of spiritual gifts. Everyone doesn't have the same gifts. It's not saying everybody should have the spiritual gift of teaching. By this time, you ought to be teachers. That's not what he's talking about. It's not referring to an official position here. There should be like 100 Sunday school teachers, and the church has 102 people. It's not referring to an official position. The church should not be full of people who have an official capacity as teacher. That position should be greatly limited, according to James chapter 3 and verse number 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. It is speaking of the kind of informal teaching we should be doing as we fellowship one with another. Small group of fellowships ought to be filled with gospel excitement as the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ is shared. Whenever we get together and however we get together for fellowship, there ought to be gospel encouragement as we speak of Christ's work that we've seen in Scripture, and we speak of Christ's work that we see in our lives, and we see His promises that fill our hearts with hope and His love and His grace and His mercy and so much more. Our homes should be gospel-centered homes. Parents should be pouring out for their children a vision of Christ and His glory and His greatness. I'm saying there's all kinds of opportunities for this informal teaching to take place. But notice what he says about these people in verse number 12. You need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You know what he's saying? Time's come when you should be teaching, and instead, you all have to go back to kindergarten. You need the very basics, the elementary stuff, the gospel ABCs. He says you need milk, which here pictures spiritual nourishment that's simple and basic. In this particular context, that's what it's referring to. Your spiritual digestive tract doesn't seem to want anything else when they should be digesting solid food, spiritual nourishment with more depth for the soul. God and His Word and His glory and the gospel are important, central, and how we need to desire to know God more and see His greatness and glory more fully. I would suggest to you, when you do devotions in the morning and you read God's Word, that's what you should be looking for. Ask God, show me Your greatness and glory in these passages, in these texts. Help me see more of You. Now, before we move on, let me point out one more thing here that I think is important. Because He's saying to these people, the time's come you ought to be teachers and you need to go back to kindergarten. He is being sarcastic. I say that because nowhere in this book do you really find kindergarten. He doesn't go on and go backwards. He goes on and starts talking more about Melchizedek and the atonement and the new covenant and so on. So he continues to teach some strong meat stuff. He never goes back to the ABCs in this epistle. He's being sarcastic. I taught high school algebra for many, many, many years. And I must confess to you that sometimes it was very frustrating when some students just didn't put any effort into learning. And occasionally, I have to confess I might have been prone to some sarcasm. Like coming in after a test that people really did bad in and say, today we're going to learn how to add. Who can tell me how much 2 plus 2 is? That's what the author is trying to get them to see. Their folly and their sluggishness. He's saying to them, come on now. You know better than to be sluggish with gospel learning. Wake up. Get moving again. Start growing and start influencing the church body for good. So number one, a lack of gospel depth. Number two, a lack of influential development. They haven't developed, he's pointing out they should be influencing each other positively for the gospel. Number three, a lack of doctrinal discernment. Verses 13 and 14. Based on the first two things lacking, a third emerges in the text. Verse number 13, it talks about everyone who lives on milk is unskilled or not acquainted. The word refers to being inexperienced in dealing with the truths of God's word. Unskilled in the word of righteousness or the teaching. He's saying that their immature state did not allow them to experience the word of righteousness as they should. Teaching in the NIV is the word logos, word. He's saying they're like children who, because they're not experienced in the things of life, we wouldn't expect profound decisions and profound understanding to come from the mouth of a toddler. His point is, if you continue on milk, if you continue on just the simple things, you're not growing in the gospel, which leads to verse number 14. Solid food is for the mature. There's a contrast here. Those who are making gospel progress and taking in solid food, more serious gospel knowledge, they experience by constant use of taking in solid gospel nourishment, they're becoming more and more skilled in discernment. This constant use there in verse number 14 is allowing them to distinguish, notice it says, between good and evil, good from evil. The point of verse number 14 is simple. Gospel growth brings discernment. Gospel growth brings discernment. And if you're regressing, then you don't have this doctrinal discernment. Because you see the good from evil there in verse number 14? He's not primarily talking about moral good from evil. He's not saying they don't know right from wrong in terms of morality so much. He's saying they don't know right from wrong in terms of doctrine. In terms of doctrine. That's the context. Immaturity over a long period of time causes believers not to be very doctrinally sound. I've seen it firsthand where after teaching for years and years and years on a particular subject, people say, you taught that? We didn't know that. Well, it's been coming over the pulpit for years and years and years and years. The problem here is a lack of gospel depth, which leads to a lack of influential development, which ultimately causes people to be very, very, very undiscerning as far as what's good doctrinally, theologically, spiritually, and what's not. What happens is people settle for much less in terms of gospel nourishment. It's all good. Many years ago, when I was in Bible college, we went to a church, and the pastor got up one Sunday night for service, and he kind of was fiddling around with the Bible, and let's see, where should we go tonight? It's all good. He had no idea what he was going to preach. Didn't study, didn't prepare. It's all good. Any old thing will do. That's the problem. This lack of being discerning. Let me give you a few important implications of this. What it means is some believers can't distinguish between what's significant and what's insignificant. They may spend days meditating on and being amused by that which makes no difference whatsoever. While the important things and significant things don't make much difference to them. Anything will do. Gospel truth doesn't matter. I'm not trying to be negative, but I believe many in evangelical churches today would have trouble even articulating the important truths of the gospel. So we have a Jesus that dies on the cross for your loneliness and hurts, instead of one that dies on the cross for your wickedness and rebellion. And we have a Jesus that comes alongside of us as a life's coach, yelling from the sidelines, "You can do it, you can do it." He offers us great advice so that we can achieve our goals and be a success, instead of a Jesus who is our Redeemer and Lord, worthy of all of our praise and honor and obedience, because he rescues us from the pits of hell and he brings us into the presence of God. We read Psalm 16 this morning. "For in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." We have the Jesus of the American dream, the Jesus of wealth and prosperity and health, rather than the Jesus for whom by grace we take up our crosses and follow, giving up the pleasures of sin for a season, because our pleasures in Christ are worth so, so much more. And so this lack of discernment causes believers not to be able to tell what's really important and significant and what's not. And then number two, as a result of that, there's a drift away. If you're not learning more about Jesus, there's got to be a reason. If you don't want more about Jesus, there's got to be a reason. If you don't want to be putting the effort into growing and learning, there's got to be a reason. So there's this drift away from gospel-centered humility and God-sourced strength, and a drift towards self-generated, proud, and independent living. The last thing we need in churches that claim to preach the gospel is willpower or "I can do it" religion. We need gospel-saturated dependence. "Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea." That's how I'm accepted. That's why I'm accepted before God. I'm accepted before God in the person of Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. How are you understanding and applying gospel truths about grace, faith, good works, humility, the cross, Christ's priesthood, his intercession, his justification, his sanctification, repentance, regeneration, hope, promises, new heavens, new earth? How are you doing those things in your life? So we have here three marks of immaturity: a lack of gospel depth, a lack of influential development, a lack of doctrinal discernment. In these believers, he's saying, you have become sluggish. Your fault, your responsibility. I heard something interesting not too long ago. I heard that during the Great Awakening of the 18th century in Europe and America, the Great Awakening with Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield, John Wesley, there became a sudden interest, great interest in shorthand. Because people wanted to take down sermons that they heard quickly. There was this desire to know the Word of God, a hunger for gospel truth. They carried around portable inkwells strapped about them, a quill pen in their ears. They got together to hear God's Word, and they wanted to know it, understand it. A hunger for gospel truth always accompanies a work of the Holy Spirit in a person's heart. I'm filled with the Spirit of God, but I don't really care much about the gospel. Those things, that's just, that doesn't compute. The Spirit comes to make much of the Son. By the grace of God, as time goes on in one's spiritual life, we should make progress in the gospel. I hope you see what I mean by the starting place of gospel truth. It's not the ending place of gospel truth. May God stir in your hearts a greater and more fervent desire to know Christ. If you have not had that starting place, if you have not had that starting place in your heart, I urge you to turn from your sin and humbly receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For there is coming Judgment Day, and a holy God will punish sins . Sinners who have not come to Christ and receive forgiveness will be cast out of God's presence into hell for all eternity. Jesus is your only hope. And Jesus has never turned away a single person that's come to him. If you come to him humbly, and you recognize your great need for salvation, and you put your faith and your trust 100% completely in him alone. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, if there's somebody here that does not know Christ, God, our prayer is you would be merciful and gracious and open their eyes and move in their hearts, and that they might see Christ's cross, and they might see their sinfulness, and they might see their need to come to that cross humbly and call on your name. We just pray for their salvation. And Lord, forgive our sluggishness. Move in our hearts. Open our eyes more and more to gospel truth, to your greatness and glory. Forgive us where we are sluggish. Give us understanding. Help us to know you. Help us to delight in you. Please work in our lives. Thank you for your great patience and mercy and grace and working. We ask these things in Jesus' name.